that has put his hand on this moment in time to deny the timeline of the enemy and is about to heal our land. I believe that all the world religions tell you that to get to heaven, you have to earn your way to heaven with your works. But only Christianity teaches that it's by faith alone. And for me to get to heaven, it's 100% Jesus and 0% me. And for you to get to heaven, it's 100% Jesus and 0% you. I believe that Satan wants you to live in fear so he can feed off your fear. But that God has raised up an army of God, his remnant, his red-pilled Christian patriots that will help defeat Satan and the new world order because of our faith. I believe that Satan incited the Jews to scream, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And it totally backfired when Jesus said, "Forgive them, as they do not know what they do." I believe Jesus' death on the cross was a complete victory over Satan, and that his victory allows all of your past, present, and future sins to be forgiven, that you can live the abundant life. And I believe in the power of one person working as a team with other Christian patriots and have massive impact in reversing this ungodly culture. And I believe that when I'm preparing to teach something, I end up forcing myself to learn it more deeply, and I get blessed from what I learn. Therefore, I'm blessed to teach. And I believe that God has called me to empower Christian patriots with truth. And that's why I invite you to join us at blessedtoteach.com. That's blessed with the number 2, teach.com. God bless you, and I hope you'll join me and all the Blessed to Teach patriots. And let's see what God is doing today. Welcome, everyone, to Word and Worship this Sunday. We love to just dig into the Word of God in between music, that we can just come to the presence of the Lord. Presence-based worship, right? So we have spent significant time putting over 50 songs together that have beautiful video as well as the lyrics for you. But what's probably most unique about this is that we attach every song to Scripture. And that's an awesome thing. We're going to be opening up in some prayer, and we're going to be talking about the reading plan and getting into day 7 of the assurance of salvation, which is going to be Jesus, a high priest forever. Very important. That's the whole concept of the mystery of the church is going to be talked about here in Jesus, the high priest forever. In the day 7 of this reading plan. So the final day, you'll have this whole reading plan available to you at tryexus.com. It'll probably in about a week or so once I get that all pulled together, probably next weekend. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be an awesome time to spend with you this morning. But we're going to start with some music after I pray and start worshiping. And this is the time, this word and worship concept, and even the praise and prayer that we do Mondays and Thursdays, and word and worship we'll do on Sundays every once in a while. Gus and I will sneak in a Friday night word and worship as well. It's designed to just put everything else away and just bless the Lord by worshiping him. That's how that happens a lot of times, is you'll be able to just, you know, soak in the presence of the Lord. That's what we want to do. So let's lift this up in prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this privilege of being able to get into the Word of God together and worship you together with this beautiful music and this beautiful videos, Lord, that are all attached to your word, the word of God, which is Jesus. Lord, and right now we're going to learn about Jesus and as being the high priest, and how his once and for all sacrifice gives us even more assurance of our salvation, because he saves us to the uttermost, it says in the verse that we're going to be talking about. Lord, thank you for that. And he's always interceding for us forever. What comfort we can have in this. Let us learn the word of God like never before as we soak in your presence of worship. We love you, and we say these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And with that, thank you, Annette, for showing up to actually worship with us all. If you guys all would, again, put everything away and just worship. We're going to start with open the eyes of my heart. It's a prayer that you can just say to the Lord. Just open up my eyes. And I'll have Annette read this first one, which is open eyes of my heart.
Yes. What a blessing to be here with you all. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Ephesians 1:18. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Isaiah 57:15. And he, Jesus, was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. Matthew 7:2. Pour out your power and love. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might? Ephesians 1:19. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4:8. As we sing, holy, 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 holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah 6:3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Yes.
Revelation 4.
Oh, yeah. This is saying, hey, Jesus, we want to see you high and lifted up, shot in the light of your glory. Let's worship to open the eyes of my heart.
We want to see things for the way they really are. Open our eyes.
beautiful way to start. See him high and lifted up, shining in the light of his glory. This next one is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, a retake on this classic. It says, Amazing Grace, I once was lost, a wretch, blind, now found I can see. And you were dead in your trespasses, sins in which you once walked. That's Ephesians 2, 1 through 2. We have seen his glory, glory as of his only Son, from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's John 1, 14b. The hour I first believed, by grace my fears relieved, the song lyric says. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 34, 4. It would be awesome not to have any fears. That's what this is all about. Trust in him versus living by faith, not sight. The third part of the song says, God, my Savior, ransomed me, been set free, and like a flood, his mercy reigns with an unending love. Knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to end. That's out of Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. Great idea for memory verses here you're seeing as well. His word, my hope secures. He will be my shield, a long life endures. He promised good to me. Every word of God proves true. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Proverbs 35, you'll see these scriptures at the bottom, lyrics at the top, and in the middle being the beautiful video. So just worship with us as the presence of the Lord comes down on you, even if you're listening to the recording right now. Amazing grace, my chains are gone.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour the earth shall soon dissolve like snow, and the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be
answered me and delivered me from all my fears. What promises are in those songs, and how much scripture comes alive as you think about that. So sometimes go back and replay that and just look at the bottom instead of the lyrics, look at the scriptures, and it's just amazing how God's word pops out in these songs. And it's a big joy of ours to bring you to the throne of God as you, and into his word as you worship with us today. And now we're going to get into what we call our reading plans, and then we're developing a series of 7-day reading plans, and they're all these videos cut up into reels and shorts, as well as all the text that I'm showing you. It will be available. They're available on the first 3 reading plans we did. This is the end of 5, so I need to get number 4 and 5 up here soon at tryexodus.com. You'll find that to be a beautiful place. And by the way, just try the Exodus, guys. It's just some transformational for me. I don't know, have you ever been reading the Bible and you literally fall asleep, or you just get drowsy and you lose, or you don't even understand what you read, or you're in prayer with the Lord and you totally lose track and your mind starts wandering, or you get just fatigued? That's frustrating to me. It used to be so frustrating for me. That's what I love about the capsules. I take a couple of capsules and I'm no longer weary. So I used to have no caffeine in the afternoon. I love it. When I do my shoulders at night, I used to get exhausted, and that doesn't happen to me anymore. So it's been transformational for many people, especially people that suffer from chronic fatigue. That's why we really think people are going to come to this product, and then that aren't even believers or aren't even in the Word very hard. They get out of the habit of being in the Word every day, and they're going to get the reading plan. And the reading, and the what we call a prayer guide, which is a little short, 1-2 minute thing, Monday through Sunday. And then it's going to have a QR code to get into these detailed reading plans and pull them in to get the Word of God to be a daily experience, a daily habit. And that's why our goal is to get 1 million people reading the Bible through their health, right, with the Exodus. That's why it's at tryexodus.com. That's why we have all the reading plans there. You can become part of that movement. But become a champion of it. We'd love to have more champions join us to get people out of fatigue completely, high energy, and be able to concentrate when they're reading the Bible, be able to concentrate when they're praying, and not be weary, and live life with vitality, right? And that's what this is all about. And this reading plan we're doing is on the spirit, because it's mind, body, spirit. We did a lot on mind, we did a lot on body. And now this is the spirit, and we did salvation as the first one, and now this is the assurance of salvation. So remember, the evil one wants you, your spirit, to have constant afflictions and for you to be unsure of your salvation. God wants your spirit connected to him and for you to be assured of your salvation. The Word of God has many scriptures confirming that the evil one cannot snatch you out of his hand, right? And that's and one of those is, we've gone through 6 of them, and the full context of them, doing devotionals on them. Now we're in day 7, and this is, Jesus is a high priest forever. Amen. This first part is what the prayer guide would say. It's an intention, a Bible verse, and then a prayer. So let's do that together right now. It says, I draw near to God through Jesus, who is a high priest forever, and he saves me and intercedes for me. Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Father, I commit to continue to draw near to you through Jesus, who lives forever and makes intercession for me. I know that Jesus is able to save me, and I am assured of my salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, so that's the little prayer that we're going to try to get people to do Monday through Sat Sunday, right? That's why there's 7 days. And then we're going to now go into the details of the context of this verse, right? And then also get into a devotional and actually reading the whole context of this. Because it's interesting when you get these beautiful memory verses, sometimes you read them in context and it's not exactly what you're saying. You know, like, I can do all things through Christ, Philippians 4:13, right? If you go read that, it's basically, well, I can be poor and content, right? No matter what my circumstance. So it's not really like he's telling you that I can, you know, go win the NBA basketball slam dunk contest, right? He's basically telling you you can successfully live an abundant life despite your circumstances. That's, you know, so understanding the context of some of these memory verses is really important, right? I really encourage you to get memory verses. That's why I always talk about go download the Bible memory app. That's been a beautiful thing for me. Oh, there's my dog, Rocky. That's passed away, unfortunately. But anyway, what we have there, and then BibleMemory.com on your computer as well, I highly encourage that to get some words in your heart, right? But now we're going to get into the context of that verse we just talked about being saved to the uttermost, about being near to God. And what is it all about? It's about Jesus being a priest forever. And this is really important because it's the mystery of the gospel. It's the change from the old covenant to the new covenant. This is incredibly important, and it also comes back to our assurance of salvation that we're studying in this 7-day reading plan, right? Does that make sense? So let's do it. The context of Hebrews 7:25, which tells us Jesus being able to save to the uttermost, is about the new priesthood and how Jesus is a high priest forever. We will review verses 18 through 28, and this is in chapter 7 of Hebrews, where the writers of Hebrews start out discussing the weaknesses of the former commandment around the priesthood, since the law made nothing perfect. If you go look at who is the author of Hebrews, since it doesn't say, and there's a lot of evidence that this might be Paul or a group of apostles and other, there's a lot of theories. And in fact, one of my favorite tools right now to go look at things is to actually go to the Grok, which is a AI tool for the masses that is not as woke as all these other evil tools, right? And they now read Q drops. It also reads biblical text and a lot of Christian books. So you can ask it, who is the author of Hebrews, and it'll tell you all the 4 or 5 theories. So I just want to give you that as a beautiful Bible study tool that you can leverage now free with a Twitter account, right? It's a great research tool. You got to be careful of this stuff, but if you, again, technology can be used for good as well. And I believe God wants us to use technology and try to keep the bad guys out of doing what they're supposed to be doing because we understand it. Does that make sense? That's what I'm called to do because I'm a technologist. But you can see that this is all about the law made nothing perfect, right? This new priesthood is the introduction of a better hope that allows us to draw near to God, unlike the law. He can draw near with confidence. So we can draw near to him with confidence, as discussed in Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 says, 4:16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, and we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Is that not awesome? So if you have a time of need, what do? You draw closer to God. That's why we see a lot of people really come to Christ through this Great Awakening movement. We see, because they learn about the evil. That's what happened to Mike Smith in Out of Shadows, that movie. And his testimony is really strong. But he did not know Jesus when he got hurt as a stuntman. And it wasn't until he was at his low point, in time of need, that he came to the draw near. It was actually a therapist who actually started praying for him. He thought that was weird. And then he learned about the evil. And then he came. He was in the time of need. Not only did he was he his career ruined, he also was devastated to learn about what was really happening in Hollywood with all the trafficking. And that's why all these fires that we're talking about, you know, could that be something trying to cover up the tunnels there and everything that's the crazy things going there? But anyway, the whole point is Mike Smith is an example of somebody that was in a time of need, right? He learned the evil. And then he drew. You can draw near to the throne of grace, and more closer than even the high priest in the past. Just think about that curtain tore in the Holy of Holies, and the high priest used to go there with a rope around his foot and blood for the sins of his. But now, remember, Jesus is a high priest forever. And that's what this whole old covenant to new covenant, the old promises to the new promises, the mystery of the church is revealed in Hebrews incredibly well. Great book to study. And the whole point is we can draw near to the throne of grace because of Jesus' death on the cross and our access to the Holy of Holies now. This is a huge difference, and we no longer need intermediary of a priest, because we have a high priest in Jesus that lives forever. Next, the writers discuss another difference between the old and new priesthood, where the older was without an oath, while the new priesthood is with an oath. And Psalm 110 is applied to Jesus and this new priesthood. And so this is back to Psalm 110:4. It says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. So this isn't making an oath. This is him swearing. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And this brings us into a whole mysterious character in the Old Testament called Melchizedek. So Melchizedek was a mysterious character in the Old Testament where Abraham paid him a tithe after a great victory. Many believe Melchizedek was a Christophany, and that's a pre-incarnate Christ, because obviously you tithe to something that's greater, right? So the whole book of Hebrews goes to the logic of this. And that Jesus, they apply Melchizedek as an oath to this new priesthood out of the tribe of Judah. It's not even the tribe of Levi, right? So the other priests were because of their bloodline. They obviously died because they were humans. But you have Jesus, who's a priest forever with a brand new oath-oriented priesthood, right? Similar to this tithing that... that Abraham paid after the great victory. Many believe Melchizedek was a Christophany, and that just means the pre-incarnate Christ. They have a thing called a theophany, which just means it was God coming in as some type of angel or person to show himself on earth, right? And Christophany is now specifically Jesus. So many people believe, as I do, that Melchizedek was a Christophany, actually the pre-incarnate Jesus. There, just like the fourth man in the fire, those are other examples of Christophanies, right? Regardless of this, was actually a Christophany or not, Abraham considered him a king above himself and tithed 10% to him. The Hebrews authors teach that the fact that Jesus was given a priesthood through an oath shows that he is the guarantor of a better covenant. So we went from the old covenant to a better covenant. So we got to celebrate that we are alive at a time such as this, right? Not only a time in the new covenant and the better promises, right? I believe we're going to be seeing the latter rain as well, right? That is the fall of this cabal, the possession of the nations of the remnant. I think those are things that are coming. Exciting. Past priests died and were not able to continue in the priesthood, but since Jesus is the eternal priesthood, it's forever. This is why we can say that he is able to save to the uttermost and allows us to draw near to God as Jesus intercedes for us. The authors reason that it is fitting to have Jesus as a high priest who is holy, sinless, and exalted above the heavens. He does not need to offer daily sacrifices for sins since his sacrifice on the cross was once and for all. In Hebrews 9, this is discussed in more detail. So Hebrews 9:12. Since he entered once and for all into the holy places, not by the means of blood of goats and calves, by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. This is why we don't sacrifice animals anymore, right? The blood of Jesus covers our sins. We don't have to have the blood of goats and calves. What a beautiful new covenant, a better covenant that we are in now. There it is again. His blood secures our eternal redemption, thus securing eternal redemption. So people that teach that you can lose your salvation are not looking at all these verses that we've looked at, not only the seven verses, but all the related verses that we've been in the context, right? This is, you have a secure, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior into your heart, now, yeah, it's different. It's not just your head saying, I know Jesus is God and Jesus died for the sins of the world. If you just think that, Well, so do the demons. So does Satan, right? That does not save you. That knowledge, that's part of it. But that's why Romans 10:9 says that you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart. It's that 18 inches from your head to your heart, right? That is how you are saved. You have to accept them into your heart. So don't forget that part. So the Hebrew authors conclude this section of Scripture by pointing out that the law appointed men in their weakness as high priests because they died, right? But now the word of the oath appointed Jesus as the high priest who is perfect forever. The high priest secures your salvation. So I hope as you have gone through all seven of these days with me, if you haven't, again, this will be at triaxis.com in the prayer guide. You'll be able to get to the links to find the entire video oriented and all this text it's like a course. It's really awesome how we do it with the pictures and all the videos. You'll really enjoy it. I have to go back and relive this. Again, it's secure. It secures your salvation. Now, I did want to address this after doing these 7 days and all this context. I hope there's no doubt that you have assurance of salvation. But there are Bible verses that people use to teach the opposite, right? And this is the beautiful part about understanding Scripture in context. And it's very important to understand the context. That's why we're doing this in this plan, right? I'm going to give you one example, which seems to indicate that you can lose your assurance of salvation. So you have to do that in the context of everything. So what could be some of the explanations? And that's why I believe God does this on purpose. So we will go use our minds and study, right, for yourself. I think that's why Revelation is all, the book of Revelation, it says it's the one book that says if you read it, you'll be blessed, right? But you read it, you're just going, wow, all this imagery and all this stuff. Why does he do that? And there's so many beautiful Christians who love the Lord and are sold out for him and are saved that teach completely different things about what they mean. Why would God do that? I believe it's because he wants us to think for ourselves. He wants us to go dig in and become hungry for the word and try to figure out what we think it means. And it's okay to have different interpretations on some things, right? But when things like assurance of salvation, this is critical, right? So that's why I'm spending the whole 7-day plan and all the context around to convince you what's happening. But there are verses in the Bible that if you read without the context of these other verses that clearly teach the assurance of salvation, will lead many to believe that you can lose your salvation. But we need to study the Bible as a whole and understand these verses' context helps explain other verses. The most frequently cited verse as evidence for losing salvation is Hebrews 6:4-6. So the same book that tells about the mystery of the gospel, getting into the securing of your salvation to a perfect high priest, right? The same book has a verse in there that seems to teach that you can lose your salvation. So let's read this. It says, but this is Hebrews 6:4-6. For it's impossible in the case of those who once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. So if you read this by itself, you would just say, hey, this person fell away and they were tasting, they're enlightened, they're tasting the heavenly gift. They actually shared in the Holy Spirit, right? So you would think you could lose your salvation. But again, after you look at all the rest of the Bible, it clearly shows you can't. You can't snatch him out of your hand. That clearly saying you can't snatch him out of your hand. He secures your salvation forever, right? All the verses we just studied, he saves you to the uttermost, right? How would you read that scripture? We have to consider all those scriptures together. At face value, this may appear to some to teach the opposite of what we studied in chapters 4 and 7, Hebrews, and throughout the 7-day reading plan. However, there are many ways this can be reconciled to the massive evidence that our salvation is assured. The most obvious is that there are people who have accepted Christ as their Savior in their head, but not in their heart. Just what I was talking about earlier, right? You can be enlightened and even taste the heavenly gift and share in the Holy Spirit and experience many benefits of being around other believers. You see how that would happen? If I just have it in my head This is, reminds me of the Left Behind series, those of you who may have read that. And there was a pastor that didn't get, that he got left behind, right? He was left behind, a pastor. And many, many pastors will be left behind because they're teaching the Word of God from their head. And they never really accepted Jesus as their Savior in their heart. And that is a big, big difference. Again, because even Satan's and everybody else does that. So, others believe this passage is just a hypothetical or a warning to those at the time to not fall back into Judaism. Others believe that we can fall away for a short period of time, but God will restore us. And still others believe this passage is more hyperbole to deter sin. Whole point being, it doesn't teach that you're going to lose your salvation, because there's too much evidence to the contrary in the rest of the Bible, right? That's why we want to think for ourselves. So regardless of the evidence we have studied clearly shows the preponderance of the evidence is clear. Once we place our trust in Jesus and accept Him with our head and our heart, no one can snatch us out of the hands of Jesus. He will never cast us out. We studied a whole day on that, right? And our salvation is secure. We can just celebrate that. And then before we get into the reading of that full context, let's do some more beautiful celebration of who He is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Annette, will you read this, please?
Yes, I will. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Psalm 113, 2-3. When I found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. But rejoice that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed at the revelation of His glory. 1 Peter 4:13. You give and take away. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charged God with wrong. Job 1:21 to 22. When the darkness closes in, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Psalm 23:4.
Yes. Just think about it. When the darkness closes in, sometimes the Lord takes away. This is about being content in all circumstances. That's what this psalm's really about, right? But even if you're in that desert place, you can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's worship, no matter what our circumstances.
Back to praise when the dark.
rise of the sun to its setting. The name of the Lord is to be praised. This next song is Great Are You, Lord, where the first verse is Great Are You, Lord, where it says, For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. That's Psalm 96, 4 through 5. The second part of the song says, It's your breath in our lungs. Then the Lord formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature, right out of Genesis 2:7. That song talks about you give life, you are love. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's 1 John 4:8. Fourth part of the song says, You bring light into the darkness. Doesn't he do that? We're just talking about that. So even when we go through a rough time, you know, the Lord's coming through with something different. Sometimes growing us. And some people have their ministries from their darkest times, right? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 1, 4 through 5. I've come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. John 12, 4 to 6. So if you're going through a hard time right now, remember that light is coming. Just turn to the light. Be with him. Be with this high priest we've been talking about, this high priest forever, Jesus. He'll be with you. No matter what's going on in your life, let's just worship him now with this beautiful song called Great Are You, Lord.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour
Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. That's Romans 15:13. Mm-hmm. It's that hope. And that's what this better covenant gives us, right? Gives us a great hope. What a time to be alive in this new promises, new covenant as well. Let's read into this actual context of this whole Hebrews 7:18 through 28. And this is, again, the context of that verse about the uttermost, Him saving us to the uttermost, and the whole fact that He intercedes for us, right? But it's really all about Him being this high priest forever. It says, for on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of the weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. And it is not without an oath. For those who formerly became priests and made such without an oath, but this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. This is also right out of that psalm we talked about, and it points to Jesus and all the way back to Melchizedek. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. Is that not true? No question about it. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer daily sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priest, but the word of the oath, which came later in the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. So you can just see the context of this is pretty cool, right? So it's a whole mystery of the gospel. Jesus dying once and for all, abolishing the need for the law of goats and calves and sacrifices, right? Because that sacrifice was a once and for all sacrifice to somebody who lives forever. A priest forever, a perfect priest forever. That's what we can celebrate. And we're going to continue and come back to a devotional after a couple more songs of just worshiping Him. And this is Raise a Hallelujah. This is what we can say. We can say, we have a high priest forever. We can raise a hallelujah, right? Annette, will you do this, please?
Yes. We raise a hallelujah. Hallelujah, meaning a joyous praise in song. And Yah refers to Yahweh, God. Put together, we joyfully praise God in song. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 95, 1, 2. In the presence of our enemies, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Psalm 23, 5. 3. Our weapon is a melody. He appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise Him in holy utter as they went before the army. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against men who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. They all helped to destroy one another. 2 Chronicles 2:21-23. 4. Heaven comes to fight for me. You shall not fear them. For it is the Lord your God who fights for you. Deuteronomy 3:22.
Beautiful. What's your weapon? Praise and thanksgiving is what five says. And this one says, our weapon is a melody. That's right. Let's do that. Let's raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. That's Psalm 95:1, which is really about, it's a raise a hallelujah verse. Resurrection power. This is that high priest. He gives us resurrection power, right? He says, now I have resurrection power living inside. Jesus, you have given us freedom. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. This is Jesus speaking. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. John 14:12. Just think about that. That's when the body of Christ arises. And I believe God's saying, arise! Arise, body of Christ! Arise, my children! Second part, it says, no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's Galatians 5:24. Jesus spoke to him saying, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. Isn't that right? Third part of the song says, your Holy Spirit lives in me and I have been redeemed. The new has come. That's all about this mystery of Christ. That's the mystery of the church. It's here now with the high priest. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That's Ephesians 1:13. You're sealed. Nobody's going to take you out of your hands. He's not going to cast you away. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That's Galatians 3:13. Scripture's all full of your assurance of salvation. Let's celebrate that. And we have resurrection power on the inside of us.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away. The new has come. Now
Is that not true? Resurrection power. That's what this whole thing's about, is he was resurrected from the dead, right? That's what we talk about in Romans 10:9, where it talks about that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that salvation is assured. That's what this whole 7-day series is all about. And now we're going to get into the last part of this, which is a devotional, right? We just basically take that scripture, I put some commentary around it, and then have a prayer at the end. So we just kind of own the scripture, right? It's kind of about getting the word of God in your heart. You know, that might be a great memory verse for you, the verse about him saving us to the uttermost and that he intercedes for us. But then understanding this whole context and having a prayer is you devoting yourself to the Lord. You're devoting this word of God into you, right? So let's read this devotional part. It says, because Jesus is a high priest forever and was sinless and innocent, he can save us to the uttermost. The authors of Hebrews start by talking about the weaknesses of the law that established the priesthood. For on the one hand, the former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect. And this is why God brought in a new priesthood that is written from an oath from God. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath, for such who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. But this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Jesus is a priest forever because he is eternal, making this a far different covenant and promise. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priest were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. In this new promise and covenant, Jesus saves us and intercedes for us. Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So what, there he is. He's always giving you intercession. He lives forever. So he's forever giving you intercession, right? And so he's able to save to the uttermost. That is a key verse on assurance of salvation. So Jesus always lives to make intercession for us so we can find peace in him and not worry about our salvation. Instead, we can focus on the drawing near to God through Jesus, since Jesus is the only way to draw near to God as described in John 14. So John 14, 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus is the perfect intercessor for us because he was without sin, unlike prior high priests. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. Yes, Jesus did this once for all, and he offered himself up voluntarily. We also see this truth emphasized in the book of Matthew. So if you look at Matthew 26, 53 through 54, here's Jesus speaking in red letters here. It says, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled? That it must be so. In the context of the Roman military, a legion is approximately 6,000 soldiers. So Jesus is alluding to the fact that he could have 72,000 angels keeping him from being crucified. Yet he submitted to the cross to allow scripture to be fulfilled. The authors of Hebrews make one final point about us now being the better covenant. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has made perfect forever, who has been made perfect forever. Jesus is worthy because of his submission And he is the perfect sacrifice for us because he's the perfect high priest forever. And no one can take this perfect sacrifice away from you. And this sacrifice allows you to draw near to God. So let's finish up with this prayer. Father, I draw near to you with confidence because the perfect high priest, Jesus, died for my sins once and for all time. I do not have to be anxious about my salvation and instead come to you through Jesus, who is always interceding for me. He saved me to the uttermost and gave himself for me, and I am forever grateful for his mercy and grace. In the name of Jesus, amen. That is, again, the day 7 of the Assurance of Salvation. So we finished up. This is, I think, our 5th 7-day reading plan. The other 3 are already on tryexus.com. So tryexus.com, and you go to the prayer guide. Get you to all 3 of those 7-day plans. We'll have the next 2 up shortly. Hopefully this is next weekend. Because it takes me time to get all the pictures and all the clips and all pulled together with all this text. You really enjoy this. It's kind of like a course where you can say, hey, I completed that one, I completed that one. And for each day, there's like 3 little lessons, 15, 20 minutes each day. It's a beautiful way to dig into God's Word with me. I'm going to try Exodus.com, where we're going to get 1 million people into the Word of God regularly. Right? That is the whole goal of that company and that transformational supplement to make sure you're not fatigued when you're reading the Bible, when you're praying. You're not fatigued. You can have that vitality to spend with your kids and grandkids. A lot of athletes are using it for performance as well. It's a transformational thing that we believe are going to get many people into the Word of God that aren't into it now. With that, we're going to go through 1 last song. That was Resurrection Power. So I love this song because it's this deep worship song. It's again, put everything away and just talk about you want to focus on nothing else but Jesus. Right? That's what this is. It's nothing else. Annette, will you please read this?
Yes, of course. I just want you. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:18-19. Then Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24-2. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. All his saints are in your hand. They sit down at your feet. Deuteronomy 33:3. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3:3. And number 3. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. I just want you. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Deuteronomy 6:5.
Yeah, Jesus doesn't owe us anything. And we can just get caught up in his presence right now. Focus on nothing else but Jesus.
I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. When I've just gone through the motions, I'm sorry. When I just sang another song, take me back to where we started. I open up my heart. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart.
Just
There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We love him because he first loved us. Yes, he first loved you. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you for joining us on this Word and Worship. Remember, we do this usually on Fridays and Sundays when we can. Every once in a while, we're going to do it with Gus about once or twice a month. But every Sunday at 11 a.m. CST, we'll be doing Word and Worship. And then we do praise and prayer, a very similar format, where we're hearing praises in between the songs, as well as praying for you and your specific needs live Mondays and Thursday nights, right? So join us. I miss this because this last Thursday was my anniversary, so we didn't do a praise and prayer. So I just tell you, it refreshes me. Praise and prayer and Word and Worship do. So I'm so excited about doing this tomorrow night as well with you. Again, we might have 107 on. We're looking to see if that is going to work out from a guest perspective. But again, we'll have guests. We'll have Word and Worship as well as news on Mondays and Thursdays. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we'll also have fresh content with news and new teachings and words from the Lord. And same with Friday. And Friday might modify a little bit in our new schedule. But we're starting our new schedule, so join us backstage. Again, like Annette's with us backstage right now. There's a lot of people come on Mondays and Thursdays. You can be backstage with us as well. And there's a lot of other benefits. You'll see that on the backstage tab at blessedteach.com. So everything you can find about this ministry, our equipping classes. There's like three equipping classes that are free and self-paced. You'll love those. The Impact Her for Truth, the Hearing from God series where you get to hear from Amanda Grace and Manny Johnson and Prophet Timothy Dixon and so many others. And that would be one of them as well. And then we obviously have our inner healing and deliverance training, which is beautiful. If you have anybody suffering, we all have attacks in our flesh, right? You know, you have a flesh, and that's where demons and spirits give us thoughts we shouldn't have, right? And a lot of them have a legal right to be there because of wounds we had. So get rid of those wounds. That's what the whole inner healing and deliverance practice is about. There's a page on it on the neighborhood.social. You'll see that from blessedteach.com too. You'll be able to get to it. Again, there's a page called Inner Healing and Deliverance. So make sure that that you can train yourself on it in the equipping tab, or you can actually go get help from our ministry by going to the page, the neighborhood page. So it's kind of two aspects there to help yourself get even self. Inner healing deliverance can happen. So it's a big part of getting free. Set the captives free, Jesus says, right? Heal the brokenhearted. And Jesus comes and heals those wounds. And then they don't have a legal right to be there, and you get rid of a lot of those spirits in our flesh. That's a big part. I know Greg Locke is really big into this deliverance ministry, and we have a very similar program to help you and your loved ones get spiritually free, right? Heal those wounds. Jesus will do that. Go to our inner healing and deliverance practice there. It's all on blessedteach.com. The donations are there. You can become a partner. We really need more partners to do what we're going to be doing. We just launched live the 7x24 Family with Faith channel. And so we have, I think, seven different artists and seven or eight more coming. So fresh content, 7x24. Again, that's only on Q Broadcasting, which is you can find at tvwithrick.com. That's tvwithrick.com. You'll see all the details there about how you can support that. You can even become what they call an ISA, where you can help spread that movement, because His glory is on there. I think Amanda Grace might be having a channel on there. Then we're going to have our 7x24 channel that has Anna, Kate, and just beautiful, beautiful people of God on the 7x24 channel. We kind of have a test channel on Rumble called Family with Faith as well that you can follow. That just... Kind of where we're testing and showing the different artists, etc. It's not 7x24, but the 7x24 channel is on tvwithrick.com. So check that out. So much to see. Make sure you just go to blessedteach.com. And with that, let's close out in a prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this teaching in Hebrews about this old covenant versus the new covenant, this better covenant. Thank you for having Jesus as our high priest forever in this beautiful memory verse. Talks about assurance of salvation, that Jesus is able to save us to the uttermost, and we can draw near to God. If we draw near to God, He'll save us to the uttermost, and He'll be interceding for us forever. How beautiful is that, Lord? May we just take that into our heart, and may we understand the biblical text around all this, that that it's important not to just know about Jesus in our head, but to have him as our Savior in our heart, that we know that God raised him from the dead. He gives us resurrection power that we sang about today. And Lord, we just know that nothing else is more important than you, as we just sang about. We love you, and I do pray for blessings, Lord, on each and every person that's listening to my voice right now, that they will draw near to God like never before. They will be confident in their assurance of salvation. And Lord, you'll bring unity and a bond of peace and spirit of unity between their families and friends. Lord, we love you. And we say these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining me here on this Sunday. And join us every Sunday, 11 a.m. CST. God bless you. And we will see you Monday on Praise and Prayer. Join us 7, that'd be 5 p.m. CST. And right after the show, we will ride into Praise and Prayer, the second hour, basically. Join us then. God bless y'all.
Exhausted and stressed? Introducing Exodus, the biblical supplement with 7 divine ingredients for real wellness. Featuring organic barley grass and wheatgrass, aloe, saffron, cumin, frankincense, and myrrh. Plus a mineral blend that generates healing molecular hydrogen. Experience more energy, less inflammation, and enhanced performance. Exodus is your path to total rejuvenation. Try risk-free with our 60-day guarantee.
Exit the old you at tryexodus.com.